It's this lady Tabitha that we're going to look at this morning as we continue our studies in women in the New Testament. Tabitha living there at Joppa. And first of all, we're going to think about the life of a disciple. The life of a disciple. It's the only time in the New Testament when the feminine form of disciple is used. Like you have a prince and a princess, a disciple, a discipleess. That's not what you call it. But this is the only time in the New Testament when the feminine form of disciple is used. But where did the life come from, this life as a disciple? How did she become a disciple? We'll look at the map, because back in Acts chapter 8, at the end of Acts chapter 8, we read about Philip after he had spoken to the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts chapter 8 verse 40, Philip, however, appeared in Azotus and travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. So Philip appeared in Azotus, there's Azotus, and he travelled about preaching the gospel until he reached Caesarea. So I think it's very likely that on that journey from Azotus to Caesarea, Philip came to Joppa and there he preached the gospel. And he preached the gospel to Tabitha. Tabitha heard, because women were evangelized as well as men. Tabitha was amongst those who believed. We're told in Acts 8 when Philip went to Samaria, he proclaimed the Christ. Philip preached Jesus and Tabitha heard about Jesus, whether it was from Philip or someone else, and she believed. As Harry said, I believe. She believed in Jesus as the Saviour that God had sent. And she became a learner of Jesus. Remember, that's what the word disciple means, a learner. She wanted to learn of Jesus and learn from Jesus. She became a follower of Jesus. That's where that life came from. She heard the gospel message by some means, probably Philip. She believed and became a learner. That's how that life of a disciple began. How did that life reveal itself, that she had this life, this new life from Jesus? Well, there it is in it's there spoken for us in verse 36. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas or Gazelle, who was always doing good and helping the poor. Literally, she was full of good works and almsgivings or charities, which she did. She was full of good works and almsgivings, giving to the poor, helping the poor, which she did. Full, that's a lovely expression, isn't it, being full of good. She's the only person who's described as being full of good works. And a number of translations say that she was always doing them. Another one says she was abounding in them. I think we can say it's something that completely characterized her. Later across in chapter 13, Paul speaks about Elymas in chapter 13, verse 10. You are a child of the devil, an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of evil, deceit and trickery. He was full of those things. He was completely characterized by them. Tabitha was completely characterized by good works and almsgiving, helping the poor. And so she fulfills something that Paul writes about later in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 10. When he's speaking about the provision that needs to be made for widows by the church. No widow may be put on the list of those who are helped unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. Well, that's what Tabitha did. She devoted herself to all kinds of good deeds. Philip Doddridge, in his Family Expositor, and that's a wonderful book. It's very hard to get hold of these days. Philip Doddridge does an expanded translation of the text and then a little application in little bite-sized portions. It's for family worship. He says of Tabitha, she was a person whose heart had been so ready to pity the afflicted and her hand to help them. Well, that's helpful that she was full of good deeds. They flowed out of her loving heart and they found expression in practical ways. Her heart was ready to pity the afflicted, her hand to help them. And this was expressed particularly and practically towards the widows of Joppa. And that becomes clear when Peter comes to Joppa later. We read in verse 39 that all the widows stood around him crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Here is a number of widows. It's a seaport, don't forget. Seaports are always going to have widows. It's dangerous to ply trade on the ocean. And there were a number of widows whose husbands no doubt had been lost at sea there in Joppa. But well, Tabitha finds a ministry to them. Her heart is compassionate towards them. And she makes these complete wardrobes for them. The words about the clothes that she made refer to inner and outer garments. She made a complete wardrobe for these widows in her compassion for them. Remember, there's no social security, there's no universal credit in Joppa in New Testament days. Tabitha is aware of this need. She's aware of these needy women. And so in love and compassion, she uses her skills and abilities to produce clothing for them in their need. The life of a disciple, a life she received as she believed the gospel and trusted in Jesus, became a learner of him. And being a learner of Jesus, she shows compassion to those in need. And so that life that she received in believing becomes evident and is expressed through the deeds of kindness, the good deeds that she does to those in need. The life then of this disciple. And then secondly, the death of a disciple. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. She became sick and died. Some illness resulted in her death. It's a reminder that disciples of Jesus, even eminent ones like Tabitha, are not immune from sickness or death. We still inhabit the old heavens and the old earth. Remember what Harry said? The Bible says in the Revelation there's a new heavens and a new earth coming. Yes, there'll be no sorrow and death and pain there, but we still inhabit the old heavens and the old earth. So there is sickness and there is death. And Tabitha is prepared for burial. That's what they do in washing her body. They are preparing her, placing her in the upstairs room. They are preparing her for burial, washed and placed in that upstairs room where there is a gathering of those who miss her and mourn her, who gather in grief and sadness. So when Peter arrives and goes up to that room, don't forget all verse 39, all the widows stood around him crying, because here was someone that they knew loved them, and they'd come to love her, and now she's gone and she's missed, and they grieve and are sad. And that's fitting. Whenever a disciple dies, that we have, our hearts have been bound together. And so there's grief and sadness. Yes, we're not going to grieve as those who have no hope. But that doesn't mean we're not going to grieve. We're going to grieve. We're going to grieve as those who have hope in Jesus. Now, this is the first recorded natural death of a disciple in the book of Acts. Ananias and Sapphira died back in Acts chapter 5, but that was a divine judgment on them. Stephen has been stoned to death in Acts chapter 7, the first Christian martyr. But this is the first natural death. We're in the year roughly AD 37. And so I wonder, do they summon Peter, again in the words of Philip Doddridge, that he might give them his advice and assistance under that great distress which the loss of so dear and useful a friend could not but occasion? They call for Peter. They learn that Peter is nearby in Lydda. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. The NIV missed out two important words. Please come at once to us. I think they want Peter to come to them to help them in this grief and this, what do we do? A believer has died. What happens, Peter? What do we do? They're looking to him for his advice, his assistance, his consolation, his comfort. Because I think we have to remember that people being raised from the dead is very uncommon. Even in the New Testament, there are only 5 people raised back to life in the New Testament. Tabitha is one of them. And in Acts, Eutychus, later in Acts, is the only other in the book of Acts. People being raised back to life wasn't a common thing. Jesus only brought 3 people back to life in his ministry. So I'm not sure that they were expecting Peter to come and bring her back to life. They ask Peter to come to us, come quickly to us, to give us your assistance, your advice, your help, your comfort in this time of grief and sorrow and distress. So the death of this disciple causes grief and uncertainty, perhaps. What do we do? And so they summon Peter to come and help this band of believers at Joppa. The death of a disciple. And then thirdly, the raising of a disciple. Peter went with them. We read in verse 39, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. So Peter discovers the grief that is evident in this place. He sees the tokens of Tabitha's loving ministry amongst these people. And so he then follows a procedure that he had seen Jesus do. We perhaps should just remind ourselves of Jesus bringing back to life Jairus' daughter. In Mark chapter 5, I'm from verse 40. Remember, Jairus has come. My daughter is very sick and dying. Jesus begins to travel to Jairus' home. The woman who has been ill for 12 years interrupts him getting to Jairus' house. And while Jesus heals her, messengers come from Jairus' house. Your daughter has died. Don't bother the teacher anymore. But Jesus says, don't be afraid, just believe. When he comes to the house, there is commotion and wailing. And we read in verse 40, Jesus put them all out. He took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. So what does Peter do? Verse 40, Peter sent them all out of the room, just as Jesus had done there at Jairus' home, only bringing the parents and his disciples into the room with him. Peter sent them out of the room. He got down on his knees and prayed, turning towards the dead woman, literally to the body. He said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. So there's very similarities to what Jesus did in the healing of the raising of Jairus' daughter. Peter follows a very similar procedure. Perhaps this, along with the healing of Aeneas in Lydda, which again has parallels to Jesus healing a paralytic man, perhaps these are recorded to remind us that Jesus is still at work. Just as Jesus had performed miracles like this when he was on earth, Jesus is still at work now through Peter, healing a paralytic, raising a woman back to life. And it is Jesus who is at work, because remember what Peter says to Aeneas in verse 34. Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. And when Tabitha's being raised to life became known all over Joppa, many people believed in, not Peter, many people believed in the Lord, because it was the Lord Jesus who was evidently at work. I think we must say that it was by prayer, as Peter got down on his knees and prayed, that he became aware of God's will in this situation. That he became aware that it was God's will to raise Tabitha back to life. And that's why he speaks to that dead body, Tabitha, get up. By completing this miraculous wonder, the Lord Jesus placed his divine stamp of approval upon the work of caring for the poor, Abraham Kuyper suggests. This is Jesus giving his stamp of approval upon what Tabitha had been doing, caring for those poor widows, providing for them in compassion and mercy. Jesus puts his divine stamp of approval on that work. No doubt this was what a joy to these saints and the widows there in Joppa when Peter presented her to them alive. What joy that must have been for them to have such a benefactor restored to them. It's interesting, again, Philip Doddridge suggests we should think about what it meant for Tabitha. Joy to the saints and widows at Joppa, Philip Doddridge says, yet to Tabitha, it was a matter of resignation and of submission rather than exaltation that she was called back to these scenes of vanity. She'd been departed to be with the Lord, which is far better. But now she's called back to these scenes of vanity. But undoubtedly, that was compensated for her by the result. Verse 42, this became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Tabitha, she may have struggled with having been brought back to earth, but she was thrilled that many people in Joppa believed upon the Lord. That would have been more compensation for her than what she had lost now, the glories of heaven. That people turned to the Lord now that she was raised back to life. That was thrilling compensation for Tabitha. Because in what she did, she was serving the Lord. In her loving compassion and care for the widows of Joppa, she was serving the Lord Jesus. She was seeking to bring glory to Jesus. She wasn't seeking to make a name for herself. She wasn't seeking to raise a monument to her efforts. She was serving Jesus and making him known through her ministry. And so how joyful she must have been that her being raised back to life resulted in the conversion of many people there in her town of Joppa. the life of a disciple. Do you have the life of a disciple? Do you have life from Jesus? Have you heard the gospel message? Have you heard Jesus proclaimed and believed in him yourself? Turned from your sin and believed in Jesus? Are you a learner of Jesus? And are you living the life of a disciple, demonstrating that you have that life, that new life, by the way that you serve others in love and compassion, just as Tabitha did? That is the lesson that she sets before us. But then, the death of a disciple. We must prepare for death. We live in this fallen world. We live in the old heavens and the old earth. Death will come to each of us. Are we raising a monument? Not some great statue that will be raised. What was Tabitha's monument? The widows who showed him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with him. That was the monument she raised. That was how she was remembered, her loving kindness to others. Is that how you'll be remembered? Your selfless compassion, your practical help, your care for those in need. Is that the legacy that you will leave as a disciple of Jesus? And then this raising of a disciple. Yes, we look forward to a new heavens and a new earth. We will be raised when Jesus returns. He will raise those who have believed in him to new life, eternal life. And we will be with him forever. This is a foretaste, a glimpse of hope beyond the grave. Here is, as we suggested, the first natural death in the book of Acts. Well, here's a glimpse of hope beyond the grave for those who are disciples. Death is not the end. There is that glorious resurrection that we await. So are these things yours? Are you a disciple? A male disciple or a female disciple? Are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you believed in him? Are you learning from him? Are you looking forward to his return? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are calling all sorts of people to be your disciples in the world. Lord, we thank you for your grace in bringing people to love you and serve you, Lord, according to all their different gifts and capacities. Lord, we pray that we will examine our own lives to know whether we are disciples and whether we have the evidence of discipleship, not just in what we say, but in how we live and behave, and the good works that we do, bringing glory to Jesus. And Lord, we do pray that by our witness, living, serving, and how we die, many people might yet believe in the Lord Jesus, for his glory and honour. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to sing our final hymn, Saviour, your dying love had me in view.